Hello, everybody. Welcome. Hope everybody's doing well. I think we're going live. Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good. All right. We got to get up and going on YouTube and Facebook here. So we will be rolling here in just a few minutes. Y'all jump in, say hello. Welcome. Welcome all.
There, now I'm on Podbean.
There you go. I can hear you.
Okay.
There you are.
Oh, I can hear you echoing in my headset.
Oh, yeah, that's part of it. All right, I got to get these pictures going on. Okay. All right. If I could learn how to type, that would work out great.
So while he's doing whatever that is that he's doing, I did want to go over something that we were talking about the other day that we kind of probably sounded a little bit misleading. And so we wanted to just touch base on that and clarify what we meant. And like we've said before, we don't have any, neither one of us has any experience with, you know, preaching or anything on a podcast, except for just kind of piddling around here and there. So we're still new to everything, and we would appreciate a little bit of grace because we are going to misspeak. We're human. And I don't think it was the last one, but a couple episodes ago, we had kind of alluded, or it sounded like we were potentially alluding to the fact that if you don't divide the word of truth and have proper knowledge of what grace versus law means, then you are, and you're trying to follow the rules of the law, then you are putting yourself in the law. So what we meant by that is not that the law exists today, because it does not. There are two dispensations that have happened so far. So there are grace, and then grace dispensation is now, and then the law was before the grace dispensation. So if you are putting it, what we meant by putting yourself under the law is not that you're putting yourself into the law that exists today, because the law does not exist. The law was present, God cut that program and moved us on to grace. So we are no longer under the law. What we were trying to portray is that you're putting yourself into a dispensation that no longer exists, and it's not in effect today. So there is no dispensation of law today, but people will try to put themselves into that dispensation, but it does not exist. So you're trying to fit yourself into something that has already happened and has already been shut down by God, and God has moved on to the dispensation of grace, and you're putting yourself back in old times that have not been present for quite some time. So we don't mean that you're putting yourself into the law that exists today. We meant that you're putting yourself into the law that does not exist today.
You're putting yourself in an unrealistic opportunity, essentially.
Yeah.
The law was created so that to show you that you can't earn your way into heaven or work your way into heaven. So if you put yourself into the law, then you're basically just putting yourself into an unrealistic situation.
Yeah, it's not in effect today.
All right. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump into Galatians 3.
Okay.
Dear Father, we come to you this morning. We want to ask you to come into our stream and our podcast and just watch over everything that's said. Give us the words that you want said. Help minds to be open and ears to be listening. Just fill this episode with your spirit, God. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Testing, testing.
All right. So those of you who missed out on our intro on Podbean, we just had that go on, and that's why I didn't say anything for a minute.
Whoops.
All right. So Galatians 3. Galatians 3 is one of the best chapters in the best book of the Bible, in my humble opinion. So, I don't even...
There's really not a whole lot of explaining that we have to do, because if you actually read the words, you're going to see it. And if you don't, then there is definitely scripture that states that Satan blinds you. So if you're not seeing the heaviness of this and it's very, very obvious, then I urge you to pray that God will take your blinders off so that you will see the truth, because there's really not much that we can explain as far as, I mean, we could go into it, but it's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, so Galatians 3 starts off, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Where did you receive the gospel from? Did you learn it from Paul, or did you hear it from the Old Testament? Are we under the law, or are we under grace by faith? Whitney and I were talking the other day, and we're talking about grace and becoming saved by faith, and it goes back to I think it was Galatians chapter 1, just how easy it is to become saved now. It's the easiest thing in life. Everybody is looking for the easiest thing to do to get something. Everybody wants it easy in life. Everybody wants, give me the likes. I can't think.
That's the new.
The immediate gratification. Yeah. And this is the easiest thing that you'll ever have to do to receive the best gift that you can receive.
Why is it so easy, though?
All you got to do is have faith.
Because it's one thought.
Yeah, just believe.
One thought in your entire life. That's it.
Yep.
Like, literally takes 2 seconds.
Can you imagine if you lived in the Old Testament times?
No. I would have a rough time.
Well, yeah.
Everybody would.
We're not Jews, so it would be harder for us. Not to mention, even the Jews had the hardest time to get in. Like, yeah, it's
we're
just
lucky, and most of us don't see it.
Yeah. So, God's given us the easiest, freest gift there's ever been. We just have to have faith in His faith in us. All right. So, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3 says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" Do you really think there's something that you can do that is worthy of getting your way into being saved? Because there's not. You will never be worthy of being saved.
Not one person.
Are you that self-righteous and pompous that you think you can be as good as Christ? Do you think you can be perfect? Do you really think that you are as great as the Son of God? Because you're not. It doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how hard you try, you will never be as good as Jesus Christ. So it's just, I got to fix this camera. It's bothering me here. So if you're watching on Podbean, we do have YouTube and Facebook too, which is why I'm talking about video. So just in case anybody's confused. All right. So, yeah, humble yourselves. You could never earn your way into heaven. If you think you don't commit sins, you are gravely mistaken. Fortunately for us, though, Christ took on our sins at the cross so that all we have to do is have faith and believe. The easiest thing that you could ever do for a free gift.
One single thought.
Yeah. So verse 4, and I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't write a lot of stuff down for this chapter because it backs itself up multiple times in this chapter. Mm-hmm. It's,
we could go into detail, but like I said before, it's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It's written so plain, and it's Paul telling the Galatians, writing to Galatia, because they're mixing law and grace, and he's flat out telling them, which is what's happening today. People are mixing law and grace. They get a little bit of grace here and lots of law here.
Yeah.
So this is what's happening today as well. So this fully applies to how most Christians are living their life.
Yep. Yeah, it's yeah. So
verse 4.
Right. I forget what I was going to say now.
Oh, I thought you were going into the verse, sorry.
All right, so we'll just jump into verse 4. Oh, now I remember. So this may be one of our shorter Sunday morning podcasts because I don't have a lot of stuff to talk about. I usually write out a lot of stuff, and I didn't today because it's just so obvious, so plain. If you're in the right version of the Bible, you will see exactly what it's talking about. And it's so easy. In the King James Version, it's so easy to understand. I grew up in a church. I've read all these other versions, and it's confusing. It's got contradictions. And I know we harp on this all the time, but it's so important to get the right Word of God, the only Word of God, the perfect Word of God, the only one that doesn't have contradictions.
So something you said was you've read other versions and they're full of confusion and contradictions. But I will say that these modern translations were meant to be less confusing, air quotes, because they break down the English into non-Old English. They break it down into modern day language, and it's supposed to make it less confusing. However, when you do that, Satan, number one, has his hand in it, and he's going to twist and misconstrue and add and delete things that should be in the pure Word of God. And so really, Old English does take a little while to get used to. I will not lie about that. I am not the smartest person in the world, but after reading the King James Version, I struggled in the beginning, but after reading it for several months, it's a lot easier to understand. And that doesn't mean that I can read everything and be like, oh yeah, immediately I know what it means. No, it means I have to study to show myself approved, but I know that those are the words that God chose for us to have today. He did not choose for us to have modern day Bibles that are written to be less easily confused, but in reality, that's all they're doing is making it more confusing. Mm-hmm. They're dumbing down things to make it sound better. They're making it less harsh. They don't want to offend people. And I'm sorry, but God's word is offensive to people that
live in sin.
Yes.
Which is everybody.
It should be offensive because he's telling you that we're doing wrong and we have to humble ourselves to listen to that and mm-hmm. correct what we're doing.
That's the biggest problem with people is they don't want to humble themselves.
Right.
They know better.
Arrogant, prideful. They want to be right. It's not about us. It's about what God has given us.
Yep.
And I was going to say something else about King James Version. Oh, if you go back, so this would be an excellent chapter to go back and compare Bible versions. If you don't think that there are any, what am I trying to say, mistakes or errors or differences in versions, I urge you to go back and compare Galatians 3 in the King James Version and whatever version you're using. And I guarantee you, you're going to see so many contradictions within two versions. That alone should tell you something is not right. There has to be one version that is right. Because if two versions of the Bible are saying different things, then how, why would God do that? He's not the author of confusion.
Yep.
So if you compare Bible versions and you're seeing that one version will say this and another says this, or you're seeing that the words have been removed or part of a verse has been removed or part of a verse has been added, that will tell you those are not the same versions. They're not the same, not the same versions, not the same word of God. And we all know by scripture that God's word is true. He puts his word above his own name, Psalm 138:2. So if you know that you're seeing two different things in a verse, what does that tell you? That tells you that there's two different things happening and one of them is not right.
Yep.
Which should tell you, well, crap, I need to study and figure out which one is right. And then now your door is open for you to have this whole new world open to you, and you can have God's pure word and truth spilled out to you. And now you can see what he's trying to be getting to his people, but we haven't been listening. Sorry. Continue.
Good. All right. All right. Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? We live in the wrong dispensation. I'm sorry. We don't live in the wrong dispensation. We live in the dispensation of grace, which is saved by faith. If we're teaching law, then we're wrong. If you're at a church, or you're listening to podcasts or YouTube channels or whatever, and they are teaching law, then they're wrong. And you need to find somebody that doesn't teach law, because we're not in the law anymore.
So a common thing that people will think about reading the Bible or Bible studies or how we should live today is that it should all be fluffy and good and positive, and we should never have any condemnation. We should never have any sort of negative thoughts, because it's God. He's telling us the way to live. So how does that get portrayed in churches? It gets portrayed as we can't say anything to offend anyone. We live in a world where nobody can be offended, because if we do, I mean, we want to walk on eggshells and tiptoe around everybody just to make sure we don't say anything that offends somebody, because we have to be the nicest people that we can. We have to be good Christians. We have to be living the way that Jesus wanted us to live and perfect. Well, newsflash, we're not anywhere near perfect. God says in multiple scriptures that we are to speak boldly, and we will have a rough time in this life if we're preaching his word, because we are to speak the truth, and churches just fluff it up and make everything a feel-good message, and let's come and play a bunch of music and worship and I'll give you your fill for the week, and then by Sunday, next Sunday, your tank is empty and you need to be refilled. Well, that's not reading what God's telling you. We're missing so much of it.
If you think Jesus walked this earth and didn't offend anybody,
oh yeah,
then you are sadly mistaken. He offended a lot of people, not in a wrong way.
And so did Paul.
Right.
Paul lived a horrendous life of being thrown in jail, and who knows what happened to that man because he spoke the truth.
Yep. But Jesus was perfect, and he offended people. Just because you offend somebody doesn't mean that you're not doing the right thing. Everybody nowadays are offended by the stupidest things. The stupidest. If your preacher tells you that it's not his job to tell you you're doing something wrong, then you probably want to find a different church, because he's not taking the leadership role.
And he says that because we were at a church before we started rightly dividing. The preacher said that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. We keep getting off topic here, which it's a great discussion. Don't get me wrong, but we got to get through this. So verse 6, even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
So know ye there. Go back and read 5 again, because there's too much of a jump there to know what that means.
Okay. So chapter 3, verse 5, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We're all living under the same dispensation, whether we're Jew, Greek, Gentile, Philistine, Muslim. We're all the same. The Jews / Israel have fallen and are no longer the chosen. All right, so Galatians 3:28, which we'll read again later, because it's in this chapter, but it's one of these examples where this chapter backs itself up. So Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ.
And that was not stated in the law.
Right.
He made a very clear distinction of, why do I have so much trouble with that word? I try to say distinguish and distinction at the same time.
I don't know.
There is a huge wall between the Jews and the Greeks. Nowhere did it say before Romans through Philemon that we were all one in Christ Jesus. Not one place before then.
All right. Verse 8, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. Who are the heathen?
That he turned away in the law. Yes, I remember the heathen.
Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Let me read 8 through 11 again for the people in the back who didn't hear it. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law. But that no man is justified by the law. in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Any questions on that part? Because I think it's pretty clear. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That's not saying if you put yourself under the law that you are under the law. It's saying that if you don't put yourself in the dispensation of grace, which is where we're at, then you're living under the law, which isn't a thing anymore.
It doesn't exist. That's what we were trying to say earlier.
So it's not going to get you anywhere. Putting yourself...
Except straight to hell.
Yeah, putting yourself under the law is not going to get you saved. That's what that is saying. It's not saying that you're now supposed to live by the law. No, there is no law. What it's saying is living by the law will get you nothing except fire and brimstone. Verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being what? Made...
What'd you say?
You tell me what I said.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
Yep. That's what only the first half of that verse.
What does that mean?
We aren't under the law.
We don't have to explain it. It's right there.
Yep. Being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.
Through what? Law?
So, if you don't get it, Abraham is the father of all nations.
You're supposed to say no, by faith.
Oh, what? Sorry. I had another thought in my head.
Okay. That's not what the verse says. It says by faith, not by law.
All right. So Abraham's the father of all nations. And blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, which is all but the Jews in Israel, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through...
Law?
Faith.
Faith. It says faith, not law. Faith.
Yep. Faith. Very important distinction. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto.
Whoa.
Quit biting me.
I'm not biting you.
No, we got a puppy. We got a puppy and he's biting me.
Okay, so no man disannulleth or addeth thereto.
So just don't take anything out. Don't add anything to.
Chew on that for a second.
Have faith.
Does that mean that we should be changing any word of the Bible?
Nope. And yet all these new versions are changed.
It says it right there. We are not supposed to disannulleth or addeth thereto. 16.
Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise.
Right there again.
Yep.
This entire chapter is repeating itself in different ways so you can understand. And there's no leaving anything out.
Yep.
If you don't get one of these sentences, go to the next one. Because I guarantee you it's going to be explained again in a different way. And it's the same concept.
Yep. Absolutely. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. 21, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
By what? Follow the law?
By faith.
By believing.
But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Which means it's going to be revealed later, or it was going to be revealed later through Paul.
It was kept a mystery.
Yes. So the people were kept under the law until faith was revealed to Paul.
And why, just really quick, why was that kept a secret or a mystery or hidden in the dispensation of law? Because if the princes of this world did not, or if they knew that this was going to happen and everybody would be saved by faith alone, then Jesus never would have been crucified. He would have stopped that.
Yep.
Which is exactly why it was kept a mystery and not revealed until after it was finished. Which also leads into Paul was not given the same gospel as Peter, because Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. That now is the sacrifice. And we did not have to do any of the other things that they had to do before Jesus died, because they hadn't had that yet. There wasn't a Jesus that had been murdered and buried and rose again, so they didn't have that sacrifice to take all their sins away. They had to do the works themselves. We do not have the burden of being under the law because Jesus has already died. Yep. He's already been buried. He's already rose again. Thank God for that. Like, it's so simple and easy. We do nothing except for believe.
Yep. It's, the easiest thing that we could ever do for the greatest gift.
But you just got to get out of your own way.
Yep. Humble yourselves.
Give it all to Him. He did every single last drop of work. He is the one that did it, not us.
All right, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmaster. So we needed the law to teach us essentially right from wrong. But now that Christ has come and was crucified on that cross, we're under faith. So we are no longer under the law. We don't need that teacher. We don't need... I can't think of the wording, but it's already ingrained in us, right from wrong. We're born with the knowledge that there is a God. And then as we get older, we choose to either accept that or reject it.
And I wouldn't say that we don't need the schoolmaster to teach us right from wrong. I would not say, I know that's not what you meant, but we still need to follow as best that we can the goodness of Jesus. That's not what we're saying. We're not saying don't take anything from the Old Testament and ignore it. Because that's not what we're saying. There's so much good that Jesus wants us to do still and live a good life. But living a good life is not what gets us into heaven.
Right.
So we still need His example and teaching, yes. But what that means is we're no longer under a schoolmaster, parentheses, law. So schoolmaster is equivalent to law.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is one baptism. There is no water baptism. We're baptized by Christ.
There was water baptism in the law, which is why so many people get it confused, because they mix law and grace.
Yep. Verse 28. Again, we read, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. This does not mean that male and female are the same, nor does it mean that Jew and Greek are not. Nor does it mean that Jew and Greek are the same. What it means is that God doesn't determine your salvation based on these things. There are still races. There are still two genders. But it doesn't matter what race or gender you are, because salvation is for all. Through Christ by the cross. Verse 29, and if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Good chapter.
It's a pretty amazing chapter right there.
I would urge you to read that several times just to let it sink in, because we don't hear this taught in churches.
Nope, not at all. You know what? I saw, and we're through Galatians 3. Now we're just going to chit-chat a little bit, because there are so many things going on in this world that just...
they're sickening.
Yes, that just slap God in the face.
Yep.
All over the place. And I saw a video about churches becoming liberal and having, well, one, female ministers, which, if you read the Bible, isn't correct. I don't care what time, what age we live in. God has things set up throughout time for a purpose. But that's... and it's funny, because the video I saw, it was three women preachers accepting that God is non-binary. Basically just saying that God doesn't have a gender, even though he's the Father.
And they refer to him as he, him. The entire Bible.
Yeah. They had one female preacher, and don't take this the wrong way, it's not just women preachers, but this is what I saw on this video. They had a woman preacher kick a field goal with the Bible. Yeah. Use the Bible as a football to kick a field goal in church.
Wow.
On Super Bowl Sunday. This world is going to hell quickly. Like, it's not going to be long, and I pray that it happens sooner than later, because I don't want my kids growing up in this.
Wow.
It's disgusting, the things you're seeing. And then the Catholics taking Paul out of the Bible because he's...
I don't like what he says.
He's too old school. He's too misogynistic. I'm sorry, that's God's word. It's not Paul's. Paul wrote it down, but God inspired him. God gave him the words to write in those letters. First off, if I'm not even going there, never mind. Catholicism is...
skewed.
Wrong. I know I'm going to get a lot of hate for that one. But there's
we're supposed to be bold and speak out.
Yeah. Show me in God's true word where it talks about a pope.
And where it says to worship anyone other than God.
Yeah. Yeah. Show me where it says to pray to Mary.
Yeah.
Mary is not a god. Mary is not a... Mary doesn't do anything. Mary gave birth to the Son of God.
And that was the role that she was given and nothing more.
Yeah. So many different religions. We're not... What was that video that we saw? We're not into religion. We're into Jesus Christ. So all these religions are wrong.
Mm-hmm. You shouldn't follow religion. You should follow God.
There you go. There you go. But some, almost all the religions have perversed the word of God, changed things, used different versions of the Bible. And by that, I don't mean they don't use the King James Version. I mean, they use multiple versions of the Bible to prove their point.
The
because
church that we were going to beforehand, before we started learning how to read the Bible properly and the way that God tells us to, said, literally, I remember this so clearly because I was already into rightly dividing just a hair and I was seeing all these little things, but Matthew wasn't there yet. He said, we're reading out of this version, but it doesn't matter what version of the Bible you're reading out of. Literally said those words. And that should be offensive to you because God's word is pure.
God's word is perfect.
He tells us not to change it, not to disannuleth or addeth thereto. Like,
so many of these versions do.
If you're changing one single word, one single period, one single semicolon, that's changing what he is wanting you to hear. Every single mark in the Bible has a purpose.
Yep.
And if you are changing even one of those, that is not God's desire. And that's not from him.
Well, and we went to one church in Kentucky, and we were sitting there, and they said... I don't remember the exact words, but basically, in order to become saved, you have to be baptized.
Yep. That was a rough service.
God tells us that we have to be baptized to become saved. No, he doesn't. We are already baptized in Christ. It makes the cross become of none effect. So if you believe that you have to be baptized to be saved, then you're not seeing the whole picture, which means you're not saved. I don't want to go there because that's telling a lot of people that I know that they're not saved.
A lot.
But I have to say it. If we don't say it, then we're doing God a disservice. We're not...
It doesn't matter who we offend on this earth.
Right.
We are not supposed to be living for men. We are supposed to be living for God.
And if you watch if you watch my shorts on YouTube or Facebook, I bluntly said, I don't care if I hurt your feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm not here for you. I'm here... for God. I'm here to get his word out there. I'm here to praise him. I'm here to bless his name. I'm doing what I can to show you the truth. We're doing what we can to show you the truth. If it offends you, I don't care.
So
I want you to hear what God has to say. I want you to be saved. That's what I want. I don't want anybody going to hell. I want everybody to join us in heaven.
So this might be something that you might not want to get into, but, and I'm throwing you on the spot here, but.
Oh, thanks. Now I'm excited.
I'm curious because from my point of view, and I don't say this at all to toot my own horn or to put myself above you, but I think it's so interesting how far you have come, because we went to church for a whole year with me believing and pointing out these little things to you in church, and you were still defending, like, oh, well, baptism is just a,
it's just a show of faith.
It's not a big deal. Who cares if they do it? And then I would, like, just, we had so many arguments and fights about this. And we've come a full 180. And so I'm curious.
God is good.
Yes. I prayed so many times for you to see the truth, and you finally have. But I'm curious if you could give us, like, your perspective on where, because we did. We went to church for about a year, and I was fighting it. I was like, I don't want to go. And I was just being my good wifely self and was following. And he's like, well, I still need it to basically to feel good. And
no, it wasn't that.
Give me your, well, you felt like you were a better person for going, is what you kind of portrayed to me.
No, it was, you still hear the word of God, but now I know that you don't. You hear a perverse version, which is Satan talking. So that's something else. Sorry, give me just a second. Let me go on my rant here. Okay, okay. I'm getting warm. I'm sweating.
It's hot in here.
I'll turn the heat off. The preachers, I'm going to get, oh man, I don't care. I don't care if I offend you. The preachers that teach out of the wrong versions of the Bible are perversing God's word. Guess who else does that? In the Bible. Satan does. Satan will quote scripture throughout the Bible, and he will change words, take words out, add words to it.
Changing,
it's the same thing. That's the same thing all these versions are doing. They are no better than Satan when they change the versions. And if a preacher doesn't properly study and teach the correct thing, then that preacher is no better than Satan.
That preacher is an enemy of the cross.
They're slapping God in the face. If you don't see that, wake up. Because it's really starting to make me mad. I feel like Trey Searcy. And for those of you who don't know, which nobody knows except for Whitney, me, Robin, and Terry, Trey Searcy was the last person I was willing to listen to stuff, because he gets so upset and he talks bad about all these preachers. But now that I'm seeing it, I fully agree. All these preachers that preach the incorrect thing are no better than the devil himself. Pay attention.
Philippians 3:18. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. If you are not preaching God's word, you are an enemy of the cross. That means that there are most preachers preaching are an enemy of the cross.
I guess this isn't going to be our shortest podcast,
that sucks.
Huh?
Nope.
All right, what were you asking now?
Okay, so I want to know what kind of was going through your head, because, and I don't even know if you remember what was going through your head, because you've come so far, and I don't know if you remember how you were thinking, but like I said, we had so many,
I gotta take my sweatshirt off,
discussions, arguments, fights, like legit fights where we didn't talk for several days, because, well, Trey was a big one. When I would be listening to Trey in a room. I remember painting one day. I was listening to Trey.
I remember that.
That was a bad night.
That was
night.
A very significant memory for me.
That was a bad night.
Because I was not interested at all in hearing anything he had to say.
Nope, he did not want
because,
to hear anything.
And I can tell you why. Because he was talking about my dad.
Yep.
Essentially. Because my dad was a Baptist preacher, and he taught for years and years and years, and if you go back and listen to some of our previous stuff, you'll hear how I feel about that now. How do I comb my hair? Oh. Sorry, I was fixing my hair for the video. he was talking very negatively about my dad, essentially, and I was not going to accept that. He was, as long as my dad preached, my dad must have known the Bible
inside
through and through. Yeah. And so when Trey was talking bad about preachers preaching some of the dispensation, but not completely, it was hitting home to me, because my dad would – I was raised that you just believe that Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead, and then you say the sinner's prayer.
Yep. Which, by the way –
there is no sinner's prayer.
And if you add that to
that's a work.
The requirements of believing it and being saved, that makes it a work. And you cannot add any works to it. You cannot add or take away anything from the gospel, which is simply you believe that Jesus died for our sins, you believe that he was buried, and you believe that he rose again on the third day, period, the end. If you believe that and you do not add any work or take away any work from that, then what?
Now, I will say that I haven't looked into this, so bear with me here. If you feel led to say a prayer or something along those lines, but know that you're saved without the prayer, that's one thing.
You can thank God for it.
Yeah.
You can pray to him and tell him, thank you so much. That was an incredible gift to me. I'm so lucky to have this.
You can thank him for taking all your sins when he died on the cross.
But if you believe that you have to pray for forgiveness for your sins,
correct,
then you are not putting your faith in his work.
Yep.
And that is not salvation.
Yep.
I'm sorry. It's not.
If you feel like you have to ask for something
that's already been given to you,
then you're slapping him in the face.
If I say, Matthew, I give you this bike, and then he comes to me and says, hey, can I have this bike, please? Well, I already gave it to you. Why are you asking me for it? And then he, next time he wants to come and ride it, he says, hey, can I have this bike, please? I already gave it to you. Like, that's the same thing as going to him and saying, will you forgive me for this? Will you forgive me for this? Every time you sin, will you forgive me for this? Forgive me for this. I already forgave you. It is a non-issue. Sin is a non-issue because Jesus already took care of it.
Yep.
You do not have to keep confessing and asking for forgiveness. God does not see sin because Jesus took care of it. Yes, it was very important to have that taken, the sin taken away, but you do not have to focus on it. God does not want you to focus on it. If you're focusing on it, you're not focusing on the right thing, because God doesn't want you to live your life focusing on the negative things that you've done.
What did I say to you the other night? Or yesterday? If you focus on the negative, that's all you're going to see?
Oh, yeah.
And then you said, who says that?
Probably go away or something. Anyway, so tell me about your journey, if you would. Because I know where I was coming from and what I was praying and hoping that you would see. And every time we sat in church and I heard them say something and or teach a Bible story that didn't have anything to do with us today, that they applied to us today, it killed me. It hurt my soul. You multiple times in church would put your hand on my leg because it was jumping. And you would be like, and you leaned over to me several times and said, calm down. It's fine. So I want to know if you remember those times, because you are completely different and this flipped out of nowhere. I can't believe the change that, and nobody can, this cannot be explained by anything other than God doing this work in you.
When God shows you, God shows you.
So tell me your journey, because I know he saw little bits and pieces of it. He did. From the beginning, he did. And then he would say at the beginning, well, we don't believe any different. And there was one time that we went to counseling, and he'll probably deny this, but he said that we fought over, this is something that came up in counseling. This is how much we fought about it, that we fought over the things of the Bible and that it didn't matter. And that it was such a big thing that didn't matter. And this was maybe
a year ago.
Yeah. A year ago, but he's denied that. Anyway, tell me your journey.
I didn't deny that. I just said how long ago it was.
A few months ago, you did.
I don't think so.
Yep.
All right. So I would say it was a pride thing more than anything. I didn't want to accept that what I was taught my whole life was incorrect, especially since it was from my father. I think it was, well, we'll start back a little further. Whenever we would go to church, I would always dread it because I knew I was going to hear about it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Because I knew every time we left church, it was going to be, well, he said, see, this. Yeah. I told you. But every time a preacher would say something that I knew you didn't agree with, I would kind of roll my eyes and be like, oh, here we go. More ammo. And that's why I put my hand on your leg half the time, because I knew what you were thinking. And so I would put my hand on your leg to hopefully get you to chill out.
But what went through your head whenever you would hear something like that? Were you like, why is she making such a big deal out of this? Or did you like deep down know, yeah, that maybe doesn't sound right, but here we go. She's going to tell me about it.
No, I think I was too prideful to actually see anything.
I'm curious to know these thoughts because I know that there are people out there that have this unequally yoked relationship like we did. My dad and my stepmom went through this for a long time and they had the same issue. They had days of fights.
Yeah. I think I saw it quicker than he did.
That's not true. You took three times as long to see it.
Oh, man.
But anyway, I just want to encourage you, if you are the one in your relationship that does rightly divide and your partner has not seen it yet, give them
Time space.
They need to process it.
Yeah, give them space. Give them time. Don't push it.
I hated going to church because I knew it scared the life out of me because I was like, he's going to think that they're going to say one thing that's going to lead him back in the direction of deceit.
Well, but you know I'm smarter than that.
Well.
My mind's not totally closed off. It was
for as much as you fought it, that's how I felt. He fought and fought and fought and fought. But I'm just saying, for those people that are in the same boat that I was in, look at where we're at now. My husband wanted to do this podcast. And listen to how he's talking. So stay with it. Don't lose hope if you are in a relationship like that, because it can turn around. The thing that you can do the most is pray and let God deal with it.
I think
have a change in his heart.
I think the biggest thing that got me was when we went and tried to talk to my parents about it, and they just immediately shut it down. Didn't listen to a single word that we said. And I wasn't 100% like.
Yeah, you weren't all in.
I just wanted to talk to them about it, see what their thoughts were. And they refused to even listen.
Yeah, they were.
And they still refuse to listen.
If you're 60 years old and this is all you know.
Yeah.
Of course you're going to fight it.
But the problem is you don't know better than God. Right. If God's word said something, that's the way it is. It. Yeah. I'm telling you exactly what God said in the Bible and you're refusing to listen to it. That's a big deal to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're preaching for 15 years or however long he preached and you refuse to listen to what's in the Bible, mm-hmm. and you want to tell me that dispensationalism just started.
Yeah.
Like, what was it? 1860s or something like that. When the word dispensation has been in the Bible since the beginning of
the Bible.
Well, but it was from.
Yeah, that's true. The translations before that.
Yeah.
Yep.
That tells me that you're not doing your proper studying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also says that if you're not willing, if you're going to claim that you are this perfect Christian that lives a perfect life and does everything in the glory of God, I've heard that so many times. I'm living my life for the glory of God. Well, are you? Because if somebody brings you the truth and you refuse to even look at it, say, and they're claiming that this is what God's truth says and this is what is in the Bible and I urge you to listen to it and it's your son, and you're going to say, I'm shutting it down before I even hear it. Are you really wanting the word of truth? Or are you wanting to live your life the way you have been and that's comfortable for you?
Which I can honestly see why he wouldn't want to hear it, because he's taught
from some
all these people. Well, no, he's preached to all these people and preached the air quotes truth to all these people and quote saved all these people. Obviously, he didn't
even
save
get that
them,
far,
but
though.
I know. But if you're being told
that you taught
the wrong thing for that many years to that many people,
yeah, that's heavy.
And those people aren't actually saved,
I don't think he would go.
I wouldn't want to know. I wouldn't want to know about that, because that's a lot on your shoulders.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that you let go to hell because you didn't see the truth. That's heavy.
It's heavy. But I don't think he even got to that point, because he was unwilling to listen from the very beginning.
And that's why we're here.
That's exactly why we're here.
Because we don't want people going to hell. I don't want to see anybody burn in hell. I want to see everybody in the next, air quote, life.
And we know that 99.9% of people
aren't going to see it.
Listen to this or refuse to see it or stick with a podcast long enough to give it a chance.
Yep.
That's why we try and point out such key factors. And if you hear something, one thing that makes a little bit of sense that we're saying, I urge you to study it out.
Yeah, please do. And if we get something wrong,
tell us.
Send us an email.
Please.
Matthew.Whitney.Moody@gmail.com.
That's the only way we're going to learn in this life, is if we put our pride aside and listen to what the Bible says, because the Bible is from God.
I don't want to teach the wrong thing. This is not about me or Whitney. It's about bringing people to Christ. And if I say the wrong thing and people go to hell because of that, I want to know so that I can change what I'm teaching.
Mm-hmm.
If I misunderstand something, tell me.
And there are things that we have misunderstood, and that the Bible is a huge book and it is Old English.
Mm-hmm.
It is confusing sometimes.
We don't understand all the words.
No, nobody does.
That's where the studying comes in.
Not one person is going to understand everything that God meant it to be. Period. Even the best preacher that knows the Bible the best out of anybody in the world, he's not going to know every single thing that God put in the Bible and why it's there. Because there's always something. God is so divine and perfect, and his thinking is not of this world. Everything is so intricate for him. He put together everything so perfect and beautiful, we can't even understand it. That's why it's so important to get his words right. Because man cannot do that. And if we're changing that, then it's no longer perfect and right.
Yep.
So again, if we do say something that you take in a different way, please let us know, because we will correct it, like I did at the beginning when we kind of had that little, I wouldn't say We just kind of
bit of confusion
alluded to something that we didn't mean.
Yeah.
The law is not in effect today, but you're putting yourself in a dispensation that no longer exists is what we meant.
Yep. Perfectly said.
So if you see or hear something, if you're a right divider, or even if you're not, but especially if you're a right divider and you know what you're talking about and you've studied this and you hear something we say that's not correct, please point it out, because we want to be bringing truth to people, not misled information like is everywhere else.
Yep. Let us know, Trey. All right. Let's go ahead and close in word prayer. Like we said, if you've got questions, if you've got a spouse or a loved one that has questions, give them our email. Take them to our Facebook page. Shoot us a message on there. We're more than happy to answer whatever questions you got. And if we don't know it, then we'll look it up in Scripture, because that's the only place to learn God's word.
Yep.
Not in other books, not in websites.
You should be using the Bible as your resource, not an internet search. Holy moly. Stay off of Wikipedia, people. Anybody can write something on Wikipedia. Don't go Googling. You don't know who the source is. You want your source from God.
Even books. They still put their own opinion in
books. God did not write a book that you're reading that is about what version of the Bible should I read.
That is from John. Just making up a name.
Yeah. Well, you got me, because John, I was like, your book of John? No. Yes, the Word of God is written in one book.
And it's the King James Bible.
Yes. I mean, there are different Bibles that were put together into one. But today, what we have is the King James Bible that have multiple little books that were combined into it, translated from Greek, Hebrew, all that stuff. Anyway, pray.
Yes, dear. Dear and Father, we come to you today. We want to thank you for the discussion and the scripture that you've provided us. You are an awesome God. Thank you for showing us the truth. Give us a good week this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Go read Galatians 3 times. Are we still live on Podbean?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
I've got 16 things to turn off here.